Certainly Canada is weaker. It's likely looking like that's going to play into a rate cut for Canada, perhaps before the US.
Welcome to Views from the Desk, a special edition of the BMO ETFs podcast. In these timely episodes, we provide the latest investment news and commentary on the markets, the economy, and investing. Brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
As the economy shows more signs of weakness, will the Bank of Canada be the first to cut rates? In today's episode, portfolio managers Chris McCaney, Chris Heeks, and your host, Mackenzie Box, examine the economic divergence between Canada and the United States and potential paths forward. They also discuss currency exposure, a large federal investment in artificial intelligence, and commodities. Before we hear from the team, please consider subscribing to Views from the Desk on your preferred podcast platform. And for many more ETF insights and resources, visit BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Hello and welcome back to our BMO ETFs Weekly Insights podcast with our ETF portfolio management team. I'm today's host, Mackenzie Box, and product at BMO Global Asset Management. Today, I'm joined by Chris McCaney and Chris Heeks, who are both PMs on our ETF desk. So special thank you to the both of the Chris's for being here today. Well, let's get into it. Chris McCaney, we'll start with you. Let's talk about interest rates. So in Canada, there's been a significant tick up in unemployment and U.S. still is heating up. What are your thoughts on interest rate policy in each market at this time?
Yeah, we've seen some interesting data points over the last, call it, week or so. You mentioned the unemployment and jobs data that came out last Friday. First of all, in Canada, there was an expectation of 25,000 jobs being added to the economy. And in fact, the result was a negative number of just over 2,000. So quite a big miss in terms of that jobs number relative to expectations here in Canada. And as you mentioned, the unemployment rate ticking up over 6% now to 6.1%. Certainly some softening we're seeing in the jobs market here in Canada. We've seen inflation data come down as well in Canada quite a bit recently with some of the recent releases. South of the border, probably a different story. Again, first with the jobs data that came out last week, payrolls were up 300,000, over 300,000 in the U.S. With expectations around that 200,000 level. So a very strong beat there. Unemployment rate staying steady at sub 4% at 3.8. So very low unemployment rate there also. But just as important, particularly how it feeds into inflation, is that wages were up 4.1% year over year, which was in line with expectations, but obviously does not coincide with a 2% inflation target. So, you know, we've seen things creep up there. And then in addition to this jobs data that we got last week, this week we did get CPI data out of the U.S. as well, and that also came in relatively hot. Month-over-month numbers at 0.4 relative to a 0.3 expectation, and the year-over-year numbers for the headline CPI at 3.5, with the core coming in at 3.8. So that core number still sticky in terms of coming down, not really coming down, a little bit higher than expectations on both of those measures as well. So if we take a look at the shorter term trend, again, using those month over month numbers, over the last 3 months, US CPI is actually trending to 4.5 on an annualized basis. So not good signs in terms of US inflation coming down. And if anything, looks to be potentially re-accelerating there a little bit. In terms of the interest rate market and the futures market there, you know, coming into April, the market was expecting about three cuts in the U.S. Throughout the remainder of 2024, with that first one coming in July after the strong CPI release. That is now repriced to under two cuts, so less than two cuts now. So a full cut and more being taken off the table in terms of market expectations. And now the expectation is that first cut won't happen until potentially September. So vastly changing interest rate expectations relative to even the start of this month, but certainly where we entered the year with the idea of five or six rate cuts coming in the U.S. In Canada, we haven't seen a real change in that pricing over the last week or so with these latest numbers that we just discussed. Right around 2 to 2.5 cuts expected from the Canadian interest rate futures market right now, with July certainly being expected to have at least one rate cut in the books by then, and with the most recent data, some expectation that that could be as early as June. So there are two more CPI prints that we'll get here in Canada before that June decision. So I'm sure that will play a lot into whether that first cut does come in June or if it is July or potentially later. So we'll have to wait and see on that front. But what we really are starting to see, and it's becoming a little bit clearer, is that the two economies, Canada and the U.S., are really starting to diverge. And so while expectations for interest rate movements have been largely in line with each other leading up to this point, it's starting to become the market's expectation that Canada will be moving first when it comes to interest rate cuts. And that's simply because the economy here is showing a lot more signs of weakness and a lot more progression on the fight to tame inflation. Also, if you look at the breakdown of that CPI in the U.S., almost all of that coming from the services sector. So good news in the sense that goods inflation, it seems for several months now, has been relatively flat, about zero. And in fact, in the most recent print was slightly negative. But that services inflation does show a strong consumer still in the U.S. and keeping prices high there. So in terms of how to position portfolios, you know, I think most Canadian investors are probably largely allocated to the Canadian fixed income market and the Canadian curve. And so if there is a time to start thinking about extending that duration, and I don't mean going out 20 plus years, but with the concentration of investments in the ultra short end and money markets right now, it might make sense for investors to start looking a little bit longer in duration. And that could be simply a short-term bond fund, such as our ZCS, the BMO Short-Term Corporate Bond Index ETF that invests in fixed income from 1 to 5 years. So you're just extending that duration a little bit. You're locking in the high level of interest rates that we're seeing right now. You're kind of extending your duration a little bit to keep that yield in for a little bit longer. If investors stay in that short end and in those money markets that have been so popular recently, there is an expectation that even 6 months from now, you may not be getting the yield that you are today. And it could be, you know, 25 to 50 basis points lower. So by maybe moving out a little bit on the duration front here in Canada, you lock in that yield in and around that 5% range, and you do it for a little bit longer than just the next 6 months or so. So in terms of the U.S., obviously less rate cuts expected. If investors do have exposure to that U.S. Interest rate curve, we think staying in the short end for now and that ultra short end that has been so popular could be a good place to continue hiding out in terms of that U.S. exposure. But in Canada, I think the conversations and expectations should be probably around starting to thoughtfully extend that duration out, even if it's just a little bit.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
What's in your vault? Our new physical gold ETFs allow investors to get direct exposure to physical gold bullion without the hassle of buying and storing the precious metal, and at a low cost. To learn more about investing in gold with BMO ETFs, visit BMOETFs.com and search for the tickers ZGLD, ZGLH, and ZGLD.U.
Something else that's very topical right now is currency. Chris Heeks, can you give us your thoughts on currency for the rest of this year going forward?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Mackenzie. And I'll focus on the US dollar versus the Canadian dollar. I think that's the one that moves the needle and is of most interest for most of us. It follows on, a lot of what Chris was saying, in terms of what we're seeing, the diverging economic strengths and potentially, I wouldn't say diverging central bank policy, but the differences between the two central banks and future rate cuts definitely playing a role. You know, as Chris mentioned, with CPI coming in hot in the U.S. on Wednesday, that was a negative for equities. The S&P closed down 95 basis points. You saw the benefit of having U.S. dollars in your portfolio because obviously with higher for longer rates, that is going to tend to strengthen the U.S. dollar. And as a result, the U.S. dollar versus Canadian dollar was up about 0.8% on Wednesday. One tool to consider when you're looking at, the dynamics, ZSP, which is our BMO S&P 500 index ETF, you can see the power of diversification with US dollars in a market like this, where equities are challenged by the prospect of higher for longer rates, but you get some benefit on the currency. So even on a pretty volatile day, the ZSP was only down about 18 basis points. So that's nice to see. So, as we look to, for the remainder of the year, central bank policy is going to play a large role. Chris flagged the differing economic strength. Certainly Canada is weaker. It's likely looking like that's going to play into a rate cut for Canada, perhaps before the U.S. Remember with the U.S., we started the year, the market was expecting 6 cuts. And as Chris said, now that's under 2. So the shift in the U.S. has actually been larger than Canada, because to start the year in Canada, the market was expecting somewhere between 4 and 5. That's now shifted to 2 as well. But the U.S. has gone from a 6 to a 2. So stronger move in the U.S. So that's playing into a weaker Canadian dollar. It's suggesting to have some U.S. dollars from a tactical point of view. I think the counterpoint for the CAD to gain strength, we are seeing energy prices firmer. We're going to talk more about commodities on this call, but oil is nudging up to $90. Geopolitical risk is obviously a big driver there. Stronger energy prices tends to play into a stronger CAD. And I'd just say we're in the upper quartile, I'd say, of kind of the 20-year average of the Canadian rate. So it's nudging into that kind of upper quartile of the Canadian dollar being weak. And so that doesn't mean that the trend's going to reverse right away, but we are at the top end of the range. Maybe one last comment on interest rates, and it's a lot about interest rates, but they certainly do drive markets, equity and fixed income these days. Looking at the differential between the U.S. 10-year and the Canadian 10-year, we're back towards the highs on that. So the U.S. 10-year is all the way up to close to 4.6% right now. Canada's at 3.7. So that difference of almost 1%, that's near the high. So while the signs point to a stronger U.S. dollar, I think you do want to be measured in terms of how you position the portfolio, recognizing there are a couple elements that could potentially play into a stronger CAD, or at least hold off the USD rally somewhat. So, as always with currency, I like taking a step back and looking at the overall portfolio. A day like Wednesday, you could see the benefit that currency provides in a portfolio. And if you compare ZSP, which I mentioned, which is the unhedged S&P 500, compare that to our hedged ETF, ZUE, which is the BMO S&P 500 hedged to CAD ETF, what you find over the long period of time is very similar return. Currency tends to be, we call like a zero walk or a random walk. It tends to mean revert over time. It's not a return generating asset, but certainly swings from period to period. So you see a similar return, but you see less volatility with the US dollar. So less volatility with the ZSP over long market cycles versus the ZUE. So I think for all investors, it makes sense. Diversification is the only free lunch in investing, and having some US dollars in a portfolio can really add to that. We talked last week about risks in the market, and one of the risks in the market, one of the ways to, help diversify against risk is to have that US dollar exposure, which tends to gain when equities and even fixed income increase in volatility. So BMO, we've got, many ETF tools, probably one of the largest, if not the largest suite of hedged and unhedged options, in a 60-40 portfolio. You know, a good way to, you know, potentially look at it is, say, have your U.S. equities unhedged, potentially. Certainly having 20-25% exposure to U.S. dollars in a portfolio, I think, can only help from a diversification standpoint. So from a tactical basis, we'll see how things go. But certainly, you know, as we see a little bit of noise, you can see the value added by having some U.S. dollar exposure in the portfolio. So I think that's something investors can look at, and utilizing some of the BMO tools can help you express that view.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Something else we're seeing some headlines pop up about is the budget next week. Lots of discussion and anticipation around that. Chris McKinney, what are your thoughts on the proposed tech spending with respect to accessing this trend and incremental spending?
Yeah, and this is really, I think, something investors and people will see a lot more of, you know, going forward. Governments announcing spending in the AI space and in the cybersecurity space, but not just governments, really, right? Recent survey of U.S. CEOs indicated one of their top concerns in the near term and going forward is cybersecurity. And so we think this is really one of those mega trends that we've discussed in the past where, you know, this is not necessarily an immediate sort of uptick in terms of stock prices that are AI focused or cybersecurity focused, but it really is supporting long-term trend for investors to take advantage of over the next several years. You know, if you think about, again, the amount and increasing importance of AI and communications in general, it's really becoming almost infrastructure-like in terms of some of these subsectors that we can look at. You know, if investors want to take advantage of AI interest and spending there, of course, technology-related exposures can get that for you. You know, things like the BMO NASDAQ 100 Index ETF, that's ticker ZNQ, or for the hedge to CAD version, ZQQ. Or our covered call technology ETF, ticker ZWT. Those are some of the obvious places to go to get the mega caps that are associated with this space. But I also wanted to point out to investors that, you know, maybe don't want to take on the full level of risk and volatility involved with those technology focused areas tend to be more volatile than the broad markets are. For investors that are a little more risk averse or concerned about the volatility in their portfolios, there are other places you can look to access this trend that, again, is becoming almost infrastructure like. You know, I'm thinking about things like the BMO Global Communications Index ETF, and this is global companies, largely US, but global as well, that are involved in the communication space in general, as well as ZGI, the Global Infrastructure ETF. This is, of course, a little bit more focused on traditional infrastructure, and so you're not getting that pure AI exposure, but you are getting a little bit of that in terms of some of, again, what we call infrastructure and the continued build out and spend that's going into that space. And where we're thinking about and where investors might be able to uncover some of these stocks and some of these sectors that they might not think about, you know, a lot of companies that are involved in this space are actually classified as real estate companies. Right. And this is companies like cell tower REITs or data center REITs. Right. These are really things that do take up property and therefore are classified as real estate, but are very much focused on the growing build out of technology and communications, as well as AI capabilities. And so there are, let's call them less volatile and maybe less direct ways to play the long-term trend that we see in this space for investors that may not want to just get that pure technology exposure. So really, again, based on each individual investor's preference, I would suggest, you know, there are a few different options out there, and some of them are not necessarily where you might expect to find them. Again, things like infrastructure and real estate sectors can provide some exposure to these sort of companies. But I would suggest it is a long-term trend, and we do see a lot of continued growth and spending in this space, as evidenced, again, by the announcement from Canada, or that early indication of what's going to be in that budget. But again, also listening to CEOs and heads of corporations in terms of what their priorities are and what their concerns are, I think will just lead to a lot of continued spending in this space and therefore a nice long-term trend that investors can take advantage of.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Want to reduce the risk of market timing or increase near-term growth? Our new range of BMO structured outcome ETFs can help you dial down risk or dial up equity returns. To learn more, visit BMOETFs.com and search for the tickers ZJAN, ZOCT, ZAPR, ZUEA, or ZEBA.
Next, Chris Heeks, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but with equities kind of trending water, commodities have had a strong start to the month with the S&P GSCI commodity index up 3.1% and 12% for the year. Where do you see areas of strength in commodities and why?
Yeah, thanks, Mackenzie. So, you know, I think with the theme of higher for longer rates and you know what that basically translates to is higher for longer inflation. You could say that's basically equivalent because rates are going to stay higher, you know, if inflation's higher. You know, that tends to create an environment that's historically a little bit favorable for commodities. Higher for longer rates is not necessarily something equity markets want to see. You know, it's not something bond markets want to see. But, you know, we did talk about this a little bit last week. We focused more on the U.S. election, but we mentioned interest rates as another source of risk. Obviously, geopolitics as well. You know, from an investor point of view, again, seeking maximum diversification and portfolio construction, you know, can be beneficial. And having exposure to commodities, again, can be beneficial in markets where we're seeing, you know, some headwinds to equities and bonds, like you mentioned. So in terms of what, you know, areas of commodities, I'd say it's fairly broad strength across the commodities. Certainly oil is notable. So we have crude, NYMEX crude at $85 US a barrel, Brent's at 90. You know, those are up about 22% each year to date. There's some chatter about what's going to happen with gasoline up this year. Natural gas is a bit weak, but again, I think the big story is crude. And, you know, especially in the context of increasing political, you know, geopolitical risks, you know, they're talking about a potential strike on Iran. You know, I've been reading about that. So obviously that plays into higher oil and energy. You know, on the metals side, precious metals, again, we talked about that last week and we'll talk about it again this week. It's, you know, they're up. So gold's up 13% to start the year. And these figures are USD, so it's up even more in Canadian dollar terms, but in USD terms, you know, gold's up 13, silver's up 17. So seeing some strength there, copper's up about 10. So base metals are having a good showing. And then on the agricultural side, you're seeing definitely pockets of strength as well. The most newsworthy one is probably cocoa futures. They're up over 100% this year, but seeing some pretty broad based strength in agricultural commodities as well. So, you know, pretty broad based strengths. We do have several tools at BMO that can, you know, either directly or indirectly through the equities get exposure to some of these themes. Like I said, I think there's a good argument for including some exposure in a well-diversified portfolio. You know, let's just start and retread again on the gold bullion, which is one of our newer, I guess, newest ETF, the BMO Gold Bullion ETF, ticker ZGLD. That one also has USD exposure, and we just talked about how that can be beneficial in portfolios. So this has exposure to both the price of gold bullion as well as US dollar movements. A very good diversifying tool to have a little bit of that in your portfolio. It'll tend to add benefits and can make a portfolio more robust. So that's your precious metals. On the base metal side, we have the ZMT, the BMO Equal Weight Global Base Metals Hedge to CAD Index ETF. Bit of a mouthful on the name there, but that is a well-diversified sector ETF. Again, exposure to base metal. And the number one base metal that it tends to have exposure to is copper. Correlation of about 0.6 to copper. It's a significant exposure in the underlying miners and producers in that equity basket. Off to a very good start this year. And then finally, oil. Couple options in oil. the BMO Equal Weight Oil and Gas Index ETF, ticker ZEO. And then our cover call, BMO Cover Call Energy ETF, ticker ZWEN. To start the year, you're looking at ZEO is up about 19%. The cover call energy is up 15%. And obviously, higher yield on that cover call energy. Those are some of the tools, but certainly seeing a tailwind to commodities. We're seeing an environment where if this persists from a higher to longer perspective, I think will be continue to be constructive for commodities. So, investors can look at some of these tools as they round out their portfolio to make it more robust to different market environments.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Those are all the questions that we have for this week. I just want to thank our listeners for tuning in each and every week and providing questions and comments. And a special thank you to both the Chris's for providing some great insight. Now, next week, we will have a special podcast focusing on the federal budget. So I encourage you all to tune into that. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Thank you to Mackenzie Box, Chris McHaney, and Chris Heeks for joining us on the BMO ETFs podcast. Today, we heard about the BMO Short Corporate Bond Index ETF, ticker ZCS, which invests in a diversified portfolio of corporate bonds with 1 to 5 years to maturity. The team also discussed commodities such as gold, oil, and energy. The BMO Gold Bullion ETF, ticker ZGLD, allows unit holders to get direct exposure to the price of gold bullion without having the hassle of buying and storing the precious metal. For more information about the other ETFs discussed in this podcast, check out the episode notes, contact your regional BMO ETF specialist, or visit the ETF Center at BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Views from the Desk has been brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
The viewpoints expressed by the portfolio managers represent their assessment of the markets at the time of publication. Those views are subject to change without notice at any time without any kind of notice. The information contained herein is not and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice to any party. Investments should be evaluated relative to the individual's investment objectives, and professional advice should be obtained with respect to any circumstance. Any statement that necessarily depends on future events may be a forward-looking statement. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. Commissions, management fees, and expenses, if any, all may be associated with investments in exchange-traded funds. Please read the ETF facts or prospectus before investing. Exchange-traded funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. BMO Global Asset Management is a brand name under which BMO Asset Management, Inc. and BMO Investments, Inc. operate.